History Heroes and Legends, a three-day event from September 11th through 13th. The keynote speaker for this 20th anniversary celebration will be Mr. Les Pee Wee Harrison. And other speakers include Imani Muhammad, Mike Crenshaw, Jamo Greenidge, and more. That's Oregon Black History Heroes and Legends, September 11th through 13th, at venues across Portland. Location, speakers, and more information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Good morning. It's a couple minutes after 8 a.m., and you are listening to your very own community radio station, KBOO. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And this is Positively Revolting. We are here this morning. We're very excited to be joined once again by David K. Johnston. Good morning, David.
Glad to be back.
Wonderful. David is a Pulitzer Prize winning investigative journalist. He's an author, expert on taxes, on the economy, public finance, on business. He's a distinguished visiting lecturer. You've done so much. You've written many books. The most recent is Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. Other titles include The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind, and Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. Good morning again, David. Thank you so much for joining us. We have you on this morning. I have to say that the title of that last book I mentioned, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill, well, that just brings to mind the topic of the morning, and that is, in fact, looking at Donald Trump.
Yes, very much so.
Who you have studied for 27 years. You, sir, have stamina. That's all I have to say.
Well, on and off for 27 years. Oh. I started covering Donald in 1988. And, you know, the people who are so enamored of Donald have not done anything to understand who he is, or, in fact, just to pay attention to the narcissistic displays he's putting on. But you know, Donald Trump wasn't just born with a platinum spoon in his mouth. The deal that really sent him on his way was a gift of taxpayer money worth about $400 million. Now, Ani or Lynn, give you $400 million as a starting point from the government to get going. You think you might
I would hope so.
It would be a heck of an advantage.
Yeah.
And to those of us, I mean, I also founded a little company. It's a two-bit little company, 25 employees that my son now runs and I'm entirely retired from, and he mostly ran it to begin with. We didn't get any help from anybody. We put our money, it was our risk, it was our management skill that made it work. And yet very wealthy people in America, Warren Buffett, Larry Ellison, I mean, go across the board, routinely get these massive hidden favors from the government. State and local governments right now are spending, as of 3 years ago, $80 billion a year subsidizing corporations.
And at the same time, this is the same country that talks about mandatory drug testing to recipients of welfare, food stamps, aid to dependent children, that sort of thing.
Who turn out, by the way, to use drugs far less than the general populace for the obvious reason. They don't have any money.
They can't afford them, yes. And that discrepancy really sticks in my craw. Can you just talk about that a little bit more, how we scrutinize the poor but just give buckets of money to the wealthy?
Well, the really good state to look at this issue of scrutinizing the poor is Florida. The governor of Florida used to run the biggest hospital chain in America. My colleague at the New York Times at the time, Kurt Eichenwald, got a hold of documents showing that they were systematically, routinely cheating Medicare and overbilling. They even had a rubber stamp at every hospital that said, do not show to Medicare under any circumstances. He escaped indictment. He became fabulously wealthy because of this massive fraud, billions of dollars we're talking about, and now he's the governor of Florida, and he's the one who's, very hostile to poor people, wants to have them tested for drugs. So they did, and lo and behold, people on various forms of welfare. We don't have aid to needy children anymore, but we have TANF instead. But
right.
People were tested, and it turned out that the drug rates were far lower than the rest of the population. And that should tell us something about how we stigmatize and indeed criminalize poverty. In the book you mentioned, my most recent book that just came out in paperback, Divided, which I'm the editor of, I put together contributions from 44 people. One of the chapters is about how we have restored arresting and jailing people for debts.
Yeah.
All across the country, we have people who, they get arrested by sheriffs because they didn't respond to a court hearing notice. The debtor then gets an arrest warrant for them for failing to show up in court. Then they are released on bail equal to the amount of the debt, and the local government turns that money over to the company. This is an outrageous practice that I thought we had gotten rid of in the early 1800s in this country, and it is indicative of the institutionalized corruption that is going on. And by the way, these people who get jailed for these things, if you have some creditor hit you with a debt, if you show up in court and you say to the judge, I want to see the records, they will often just dismiss the case and walk away because they don't want to put up a legal fight of any kind. They're not going to come to court with the records. They're going to assume that you're among the 80 or so percent of people who don't come to court, and they can just get a default judgment against you and then have you arrested, and then have the money taken from you through the bail process. Just go to court and say, Your Honor, I want to see the documentation.
And don't they often just sell the debt? Do they still own it when they're doing this? Don't they sell the debt all the time? Or?
Well, here's what happens. You have a credit card you didn't pay because you lost your job, or you wrote a check that bounced, and so the company, concluding they're not going to collect this money, sells whole bundles of them for very little money, virtually nothing. And basically all they turn over is a spreadsheet. David K. Johnston, this address, this much money, this date. That's it. There's no signed statement. There's no and sometimes the records that they produce, if they are required to produce one in court, will say right at the top, this is not a bill. And so all you have to do is challenge it in front of a judge, and in most cases, they fold. I talked to somebody in Oregon recently who, when they were out of work, their spouse wrote an $85 check they didn't even know about. Spouse left, abandoned the home, and the person gets a notice suddenly that they haven't responded in court. It has the wrong address for them. It has the spouse's address, but they were still married at the time. And this $85 check has turned into a $3,000 debt.
Oh, my, yeah.
And my guess is the company that bought it probably bought the $85 debt for literally a dime or a dollar.
Yeah. And so, again, this is another way that the wealthiest sort of prey on the poor.
Right. And by the way, the people who finance these things, like the payday lending companies, where do the payday lending companies get their money? I mean, all lenders do the same thing. They borrow money themselves at wholesale rates, and then they lend out at retail rates. Well, Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers before it went out of business, Citibank, those are the people who finance people like the payday lenders, the title car title companies, and these other sleazy, predatory lending outfits. Because for them, it's also a very good business.
Well, and also what is horrifying to me is that, and this brings us back to Trump, that people that talk about government, that it is to be run like a business.
Yes.
Because no corporation that I know of is a democratic institution. Perhaps that would be a cooperative, I believe, at that
point.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, there are some small mutual cooperative companies that are worker-run, but they're not large enterprises. But indeed, what we see happen is the exact opposite of this. The Bush administration, the George W. Bush administration, put forth the biggest advance in health care up to that time, which was Medicare Part D, drugs for seniors. They specifically mandated that the government could not negotiate for lower drug prices. So we are wasting tens of billions of dollars a year overpaying the drug companies. Now, some conspiratorially minded people see this as an effort to make Medicare so expensive it will collapse. I think it was instead favors for the lobbyists who work for the pharmaceutical companies. And after all, after this bill was passed, who left Congress and became head of pharma, the lobbying arm of the drug companies, but Billy Towson, the Louisiana congressman who ran the committee this was run through. And we need to be aware that, you know, what we are seeing in America is government of the corporations by the corporations. My column in Al Jazeera America this week is about price. One of the smartest things human beings ever came up with was price. It allows you to compare things to decide I will buy this or I won't buy that, and about how in ridiculous ways government interferes with the price mechanism so that you are overcharged. In this particular case, I write about two things. One is electricity in New York State, which should be among the cheapest in the country because we have far more generating capacity than we need. And the other is car insurance. Consumers Reports, Consumers Union, an organization I was once recruited to be the head of, didn't get the job, but was recruited for it. They studied 2 billion examples of buying car insurance. And the killer fact they came up with this is somebody with good credit in Florida who would pay about $1,500 for car insurance would pay $3,800 if they had bad credit for the same coverage. So more than about 2.5 times as much, $1,500 to $3,800. But if you have a drunk driving conviction, you'd only pay $2,200.
So somehow or another, credit is more of an indicative
than a drunk driving conviction for car insurance. Really?
That makes no sense.
Well, it makes sense from their point of view. How many people are convicted of drunk driving versus how many people have a bad credit score?
Right.
Oh, that's right. They're just there to make money, not to be a service.
Not to actually
sort.
Provide service.
Even though they're licensed by the government. I mean, let's remember, you know, Mitt Romney only got a little wrong when he said corporations are people too, my friend. Corporations are persons under the law, but they are artificial persons, not natural persons like we are. And as artificial persons, they exist at the behest of the state. The government can change the rules, the government sets the rules, and the government doesn't have to allow this, and the corporation executives and major shareholders, knowing this, put a lot of money into lobbying and campaign contributions to distort the law. And your state is a prime example of this, where Warren Buffett is picking the pocket of everybody who is a customer of PacifiCorp.
Yes. You know, we're going to speak a little bit more about
speaking
this
of money
and so much more. In just a few minutes. Right now, we are wanting to bring Grace and Teresa into the conversation. Good morning, Grace and Teresa.
Good morning.
Morning.
Because, in fact, as a relatively small nonprofit community radio station, it is time that we hear from you, dear listener, because we have bills to pay, and we are not feeding on the public trough, as it were.
And we are small, but your support keeps us mighty.
Mighty, in fact. And the number to call is 877-500-5266 to contribute to KABU, become a sustaining member of KABU, support community radio and independent media.
Ha! We scoff at the public trough. We have our own troughs.
Yes, yes. We have the community, which is so powerful and so wonderful. And we do want to thank someone who called in earlier this morning. We want to thank Savine of Southeast Portland. Hi, Savine. And we want to appreciate all the people who have been calling in at 877-500-5266. And we would like you to join those people and make that call and make a pledge to support this amazing radio station.
This is a great time to do it. You can call 877-500-KABU, and you could get a 4 GB KABU USB flash drive, which has so much stuff on it. But here's a few. Ken Kesey, John Trudell, Molly Ivins. Want to hear Molly's voice again? You can get it by calling 877-500-5266. That spells KABU. Manning Marable is on this flash drive, and that is for how much per month?
Oh, it's $7.50 a month.
Yeah. Very cheap.
Which is a really good deal.
And
really
what a great present for a right-wing relative.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, holiday season's coming up pretty soon, one of these days.
To buy
couple
them
months.
A membership, you mean, so that they'll get our literature?
No, to give them the flash drive.
Share it with friends and family. Uh-huh.
I think having like sending it to your progressive relatives who are stuck in a place that doesn't have a great community radio station.
Okay, that too.
Yeah, that would be a great thing. But the point is, you make that call, and make that call now, and you can get that amazing flash drive. Remember back in the old days when we used to give discs?
Oh, yes.
You know, and there'd maybe be like 3 or 4 speeches on it. Now you get something like 20. I mean, it's just pretty.
4 gigs is a lot of information.
4 gigs is a lot of information. There's probably 20 speakers on this. It's amazing. So it's a great deal. So make that call, 877-500-5266. Become a member and support KABU. You can go online to kboo.fm/donate and make your pledge online that way. But we'd love to hear your voice. You know, as we have volunteers down here. They want to hear your voice. They love to be able to connect with the members. So, and the people becoming members.
Hey, speaking of connecting, you can come down to 20 Southeast 8th. We're between Burnside and Ankeny. We are conveniently located on Central East Portland. And drop on by and meet the good folks that actually are here volunteering, keeping the signal going and keeping the content flowing to your ears to inform, educate, inspire, incite, outrage, and you know, depending on what part of the day you're listening to, all of those things.
Come down and
at
see our
once.
Faces for radio.
Yeah, you can and actually get a tour of the studio, find out exactly how your money is put to use here at the Mighty 90.7. So again, that's 20 Southeast 8th. Come on in and become a member in person, or 877-500-5266 online, kboo.fm.
Yeah, you could come in person right here between the streets named after 2 sandbagging, shanghaiing scumbag sea captains.
Captain Burnside and Captain Ankeny. Yes.
It's true.
Well, you know, I came in on Monday, and I at the front desk on Monday morning, there were just these 2 huge penny bags filled with pennies on the front desk. And I thought, well, someone made their donation.
This is like the widow's mite.
Yeah,
And it's awesome, actually. We took those pennies in, and that added up to a fair amount of it was a good chunk of change, let's say.
Oh, yeah.
Make your pennies count here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a little goal-oriented, Grace.
We are, okay, our goal is $750.
All right.
Yeah, and we have not gotten a call yet, so it'll happen. We're still early in the hour. We will do
it. Don't wait till the very end, people.
No,
do it now. Get it over with, and you'll feel better, and you can listen to the rest of the show in peace and comfort.
You won't have the guilt then. So you'll feel great.
And guilt, well, you know, I don't actually buy into that anyway.
No.
But what I do buy into is somebody's got to get it started, and it might as well be you, right? Okay, so let's go ahead, make that call now, 877-500-5266. Be that person to start the support coming in for Positively Revolting. You know, you talk to us when we're out and about. I am actually stopped by people fairly frequently, and people talk to me about the show and what it means to them on Friday mornings. Please, right now we're asking for you to go ahead and put your financial support behind that appreciation. Please do give us a call right now, 877-500-5266, and or online, kboo.fm. Thank you so much, Grace and Teresa, and thank you so much, David K. Johnson, for hanging on with us. We have had a listener call in during that time who had a question about corporations. Let's do we have that listener with us? And we do. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning. So about corporate personhood, my question is, when people, natural persons, commit crimes, we sometimes get punished if we get caught. And my question is, when corporations commit crimes, is there any, what's the equivalent to going, to going to prison? I don't see a lot of corporate
like CEOs don't seem to be doing the time. So how does that work? Thank you so much, Mike.
Mike raises a good question. The Justice Department yesterday reiterated, the New York Times, my former newspaper, described it as a new policy, but it's not, simply reiterated the longtime policy that the officials in corporations, the individuals who are responsible for criminal acts, are the ones to be pursued. What we've seen under the Obama administration when Eric Holder was the attorney general, he came from corporate law, he's gone back to corporate law, and he's done a very good job on civil rights. But he ran what I've described as a protection racket for Wall Street. Obama has been the most friendly president to Wall Street in modern American history. And while there were numerous crimes committed, the only people who were pursued were very low-level players in minor places. And in fact, in a piece in Newsweek, I showed that Holder was lying through his teeth and knew he was lying because he'd been told he was saying things that were not true in public appearances over about a 10-month period. The law is that the individuals who commit these acts should be held responsible. And when prosecutors have evidence that crimes have been committed by a company, the CEO and his lawyers come in. If they say, well, you know, yeah, some people on our staff do it, but we don't know who, the proper response by that to the government is, you want to get indicted for obstruction of justice? Individuals should be paying the price. Here's part of the problem, though. Very smart CEOs or sociopathic CEOs, and that's a minority of people. I want to be clear. Most people who run businesses at the top are fundamentally ethical people. They didn't get there otherwise. But there are a fair number of people who get in these positions who have no moral compass. And one of the indicators of those people is they don't use email and they don't let their immediate staff use email. And so you will find, and this has been highlighted particularly in the case of SAC Capital, that was a big hedge fund that the government believes was trading on insider information that was being bought. Well, they prosecuted some low-level people. They got admissions and confessions by low-level people. There's an unnamed person who's clearly Stephen A. Cohen, the head of SAC. And the record shows he sent out emails saying, you must always strictly obey the law. I will not tolerate any conduct that is not to the highest legal standard. And yet all these subordinates say, you know, that was just for show. We were all told, in essence, do whatever it takes to produce the extraordinary investment results that he got that you can't explain with market economics. So I think that we need some fundamental reform of corporate law about accountability. I don't think we need to go as far as the ancient Athenians, who practiced what's called strict accountability. If you were appointed to a position, and they picked most of the public positions in the beginning by lot, to a government position, and you screwed up, they had a real simple answer to that. They gave you your trial, and then they killed you.
Yes.
Efficient. Let's efficient, though.
We need to work on accountability.
Yeah.
Well, and doesn't Donald Trump just epitomizes the absolute worst in the, part of it, I call it the mean winning mentality, whatever winning is. I mean, his idea of what winning is, I kind of don't get.
Well, you know, let me give you some examples of the awful things Trump has done. You know, his personal helicopter pilot was a convicted cocaine and marijuana trafficker whom he sought leniency for and whose case came before, of all the 800 federal judges in the country, Marianne Trump Berry, his sister. Now, she recused herself. She removed herself from the case.
That's
of course,
just such a coincidence judge, right there at the top. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
That's right. But every other judge immediately understood this was very sensitive, and the pilot got very lenient treatment. And somehow, by the way, while he was in jail, his girlfriend came up with cash, so there's no record of the actual transfer of the money, to buy two apartments in Trump Tower. Donald was the first person who New Jersey casino control regulators recommended for a license. Everybody before him, whether you were a blackjack dealer or an owner, they were either neutral or opposed. It turned out later that Donald had persuaded the state not to fully investigate his background, and he had hidden the fact that he had been the target of a federal bribery investigation. Now, here's why that matters and how significant that issue is. Donald Trump got away with this. He got to keep his license as an owner. The legal standard in the case that set the standard in New Jersey was a woman seeking a license to be a blackjack dealer, not a casino owner, just a blackjack dealer, who had failed to disclose that she had, maybe it was a teenager or a very young woman, given unauthorized discounts at the cash register to friends at a store where she worked.
The horror!
She was found morally unfit to be a casino dealer. Well, then how can Donald Trump be allowed to do this? And when Donald Trump couldn't pay his bills, he went around claiming he was worth $3 billion, but he couldn't pay his bills. I wrote stories about, I was in Atlantic City at the time for the Philadelphia Inquirer, hundreds of contractors who hadn't been paid. And he owed big payments to his banks, and he couldn't pay them. He got the state of New Jersey to take his side against his bankers. In essence, the State Casino Control Commission said to the bankers, you want to foreclose on Mr. Trump's casinos for failure to pay? Go right ahead. You will have a lovely building by the seashore with no license to run a casino. So, of course, they all caved and let Donald get away. And since I started writing pieces about Donald's real history for National Memo, the first July 10th at National Memo is called 21 Questions for Donald Trump, numerous people have gotten in touch with me, adding to the lists of people who say, you know, I did this work for Donald, and he said it's crap, I'm not going to pay you for it, and then he used it anyway. It wasn't enough money to sue. You know, he owed me $28,000, and the lawyer said, it'll cost me $28,000 just to file your case and bring it to the first step. And Donald has a long history of not paying people for work they've done, not paying vendors and not paying workers.
Which makes him just ideal, doesn't it?
I want to talk about not paying workers. There's this hypocrisy is probably the thing that drives me the most insane, and of all human vices, hypocrisy is that thing of up with which I shall not put. And so we have Trump talking about undocumented people coming in and taking advantage in this country, rapists and murderers coming in. We have to, build the wall, build it high, enforce every... Yeah. And yet, you point out in a recent interview on Democracy Now! That he himself hires undocumented labor.
Oh, yes. Well, Ani and Linda, the Donald was actually found after a trial in federal court, a bench trial, to have engaged in a conspiracy to cheat about 150 Polish men who were in the United States illegally, who were paid $4 or $5 an hour in cash to demolish the old Bonwit Teller building, which cleared the way to build Trump Tower, the building he lives in.
Which was a damn shame to start with.
That's right. And what's astonishing about this is that this was they have a building records union. It's called the House Records Union in New York. There were about a dozen house record guys at the site and 150 of these non-union Polish guys who didn't even have hard hats on. In a construction zone. There were no safety inspectors, or at least there's no record of any safety inspector coming by. And have you ever seen a work site where there's 150 non-union guys working next to the dozen union guys and there isn't a picket line over this? And the reason is that Donald hired to supply the concrete for this building, because Trump Tower is not a traditional steel girder high-rise. It's a concrete building. He hired a company called A&S Concrete, whose owners were Fat Tony Salerno, the head of the Genovese crime family, and Paul Castellano, who was head of the Gambino family until John Gotti killed him. And those two guys and Donald shared a lawyer, the notorious Roy Cohn. And Donald didn't just use A&S Concrete once. He used them on other buildings as well. And yet, they cost more than if he'd used traditional steel girder construction. That should scream to people, especially people who think of themselves as conservatives and evangelicals and religious people, that something is, you know, really amiss here. But when I've gone and talked with people about this, they just blow it off. You know, they'll say things like, well, everybody in New York's involved with the mob. No, everybody in New York isn't involved with the mob. Everybody in New York doesn't fail to pay the people they owe money to. Everybody in New York doesn't, if they have a helicopter, doesn't hire a convicted cocaine and marijuana trafficker as their pilot and keep them.
Right.
Well, I bet he's a darn fine pilot, but that's not the issue.
That is not the issue.
Not the issue at all. And part of, you know, now that you mentioned the separation of church and state a little bit, we've seen that the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution seems to be kind of thought of as a flimsy thing by these folks.
You mean the Sixth Article?
Article, excuse me.
The Article 6 of the Constitution says there'll be no religious test for any office. But understand that there is a significant segment of Americans who believe that this is a Christian nation, this was founded by Christians. It's absolutely not true, mm-hmm. And the historical record is well established on this, but people, if you are told that, if you don't know better, if the schools you go to tell you that sort of thing, you can easily believe that that's the case. And of course, you know, it's very difficult for anybody who's a human being to acknowledge that something they hold as a deeply held value is nonsense. Most people cannot do it. They will come up with any justification in the world or engage in denial to avoid confronting that. And, you know, Donald, I mean, look at, Donald is a narcissist. He's a fascinating character. But he's a world-class narcissist. And when he gets up and he says, well, he was asked, you know, when have you asked God for forgiveness? And if you're a Christian, of course, you're constantly seeking forgiveness. Donald goes, well, you know, when I have my little cup of wine and my cracker, you know, that's seeking forgiveness. He says, well, you know, I was in a military school. His father sent him there because he was misbehavior. He says, so I feel like I did my military service. You know, I was part of the military. I mean, Donald lives in this world where all the rest of us only exist to express our adulation to Donald. And if
right.
you don't, if you don't respect him, then he calls you a terrible person. Look what he said about Ben Carson. Now, Ben Carson clearly doesn't know anything about the larger world. His public comments repeatedly show his lack of paying attention to anything in public policy. But here was this extraordinarily poor kid, didn't even have enough to eat, growing up in Detroit, who becomes a pediatric neurosurgeon and is the first doctor to separate conjoined twins who are joined at the head. And Donald says, well, you know, he was a doctor somewhere, he had a nurse. I mean, why should we pay any attention to him? I mean, maybe he was a good doctor, I don't know. You know, I'm sorry, the man was a great doctor.
Too bad he didn't stay that with that, but that's another story.
That's exactly right. But Donald, you know, this is the way he sees people. His remarks about Carly Fiorina's face are indicative of the deep sexism that just pervades Donald's life, and the fact that women in particular only exist as to him they are beautiful and want to appeal and service him.
Right.
Ew.
Let's move on now.
I won't even go into the. I won't even go into what he said about Megyn Kelly.
I'll
watch we won't
my
do
hand
that.
Shortly.
All right. Let's go ahead and bring Grace and Teresa back into the conversation for a moment. And
well, let me make an offer for you before you go do that.
Oh yes,
you betcha.
First person who calls in and makes a gift of let's say $25 or more and says signed book, I will send them a signed copy of Divided.
Thank you. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you so much, David K. Johnson.
And we're offering Alka-Seltzer to all those of you who are just sickened by the idea of service and Donald Trump in the same sense.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to get that out of your mind. But
we move on.
You know, one of our fine volunteers back here suggested that maybe Donald Trump needs a gift membership to KBOO, and that would be a great thing to do, to call 877-500-5266. If you're already a member, buy a gift certificate, buy a gift membership for Donald Trump. He really needs it.
And what a deal that David K. Johnson's latest book will be for Divided for you for $25 and a signed copy. Call right now.
Yeah, what a deal. So
call right now.
Be that happy person who
and
gets a signed copy
be,
for $25.
I believe.
877-500-5266.
877-500-KABU. 14 years ago, we stopped our pledge drive, and Grace was sitting right there in that, well, not that exact chair, but in the same place. Over the years, it was the same mic stand.
Right, I'm sure it was. Maybe years, not the same mic, hopefully, but yeah.
We have exposed what turns out to be a monstrous false flag attack 14 years ago, intended to produce a permanent fascist war economy. In the news today, it's Ronald Rump, or Donald Grump Trump, and it's FBI foils another imaginary terror plot, but on KBOO, it's the truth as best we can root it out. And so that's why you need to join, of course, because we depend on you. 80% of our funding comes directly from you, and that's why we can root out the truth. 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266. We would like to offer you a one-year subscription to Yes Magazine if you're ready just to get your feet wet for the first time with a $5 minimum pledge per month. That's $60 a year, and you get Yes Magazine, quarterly magazine, published by the Positive Futures Network. And if you're ready to step up to $20 a month, why, you could have your own hoodie, and Grace can describe that.
Oh, yeah. We have these fabulous hoodies that we've had them for about a year. It's the inaugural hoodie, and it's black, and it has the KABU logo on it. And you can get that for, is that $20 a month?
It's $20 a month, and you said that people comment on that.
And people comment. Every time I wear it out anywhere, people are always coming up to me and say, I love KABU. How do you get that hoodie?
And it's going to be cold eventually, people. It's going to be chill. It's going to chill down. We're not going to have 90-degree days forever.
And these are good hoodies. These are not like little flimsy.
They're quality.
You know, whatever. They are quality, hardcore hoodies that can really cover you up and make you warm. So for $20 a month, that is such a great deal.
877-500-5266.
That was KABU's inimitable, ineradicable, in fill in the next word, Lisa Loving, who came up with the idea of getting a gift subscription for Donald Trump. I just love that.
Yes,
why
absolutely.
Not do that? Send him his KABU membership.
You know, I did notice some time back, somebody did get a gift membership for George W. I don't know that it actually helped him in any way, but I do like the fact that it does support KABU and that at least, those folks can't say that people didn't tell them that there was another world out there.
I think it's good.
And get David K. Johnston's book also, folks. 877-500-5266. You're going to want to do it. You've been listening. You want to read his book. 877-500-5266.
You know, one thing I love about KABU is the fact that we do get folks like David K. Johnston on. And David K. Johnston's just done so much research and just has so much knowledge about these issues. And, you know, and that's a beautiful thing because you're not hearing people like, you're not hearing him on the CBS News. You're not hearing him on the NBC Morning Report. But you hear people like David K. Johnston on Democracy Now! And on KABU. So if you really appreciate the fact that we have these amazing guests on who just bring us this information about the world, make that call right now, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm/donate.
If you're listening to us right now in Battleground, Washington, in Ridgefield, St. Helens, Scappoose, Vancouver, call
Salem.
In. If
you're represent in, Salem.
Yeah, it's time Corvallis. To hear from Salem. It's time to hear from Woodburn, McMinnville, Dallas. Let's call
Paris.
In right now, 877-500-5266. Oh, yes, my favorite, Hobart, Tasmania. Why not call 877-500-5266. It might not work. You might have to go to kboo.fm there,
you know,
in Tasmania.
Wherever you may be listening online, you can join us online, kboo.fm. But please do, if you are able to give us a call right now, this is your moment. Make it shine, 877-500-5266. Support your entire community with this call. It is really a gift that will make an incredible difference in the lives of so many as KABU continues to bring us news and information that is reality-based, that is news you can use so that we can actually take right action in bringing about a more just society. That is really a part of our mission. It is a part of our program charter. It is who we are, and it's why you need to be a part of it. 877-500-5266 is that number to call. Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Teresa. And back we are with David K. Johnston. We were talking about Donald's sort of narcissistic personality and what he does with naysayers. And that just, again, brings to mind the confrontation, if you can call it that. It was the embarrassment of Trump yelling at George Ramos to go back to Univision and sort of ejecting him from a press conference because he didn't like the cut of the question.
That's very typical Donald. And you notice at the beginning of that, if you watch the whole thing, Donald said he didn't know who the guy was.
Yeah.
And then he knows all these details. I got to tell you, in that confrontation, I'm pretty critical of Jorge Ramos because he didn't ask well-framed, thought-out questions. The person who's asked some good questions of Trump, and he's furious about it, is Megyn Kelly. And so, you know,
Which surprised me.
Well, it didn't surprise me. I watch her. I spend a fair amount of time paying attention to Fox. And Megyn Kelly is very smart. I believe she's a lawyer. She knows how to frame questions in order to elucidate real information. And she's done it with other candidates as well. And Jorge really didn't think through carefully. I mean, there's an art to interviewing. I do a lot of lectures. I give a lecture called Good Reporting Skills or Good Dating Skills, because the ultimate object is the same, just in a different degree. He did not ask good questions. But this notion that Donald has that, you shouldn't ask me a question like that. Well, I'm sorry, you think that somebody who doesn't like the United States and runs another country is going to say, oh, I need Donald to like me, so I won't do this or that. I mean, this is one of the best indications of his complete unfitness. Now, I believe Donald could, I do not believe it's likely, but he could end up the Republican nominee, and I've said this from the very beginning. When he ran 4 years ago, I think the only two national journalists who said this were Lawrence O'Donnell and me, that Donald was running for a new contract. But this time around in 2016, his show was likely to be canceled because of falling ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump could not stomach the thought of the New York Post and Daily News having page one headlines, NBC to Trump, you're fired. So he began running for president. And his problem now is, if he doesn't get the nomination, is how will he exit, since he said he won't run as a third-party candidate, assuming he were to keep his word about that.
Big assumption.
How does he exit? Because he would have, you know, the inevitable response will be the Republicans fired him.
Right. You know, we started really paying attention to the candidacy of Trump a few months back when we did a show on critical thinking. And
critical thinking? I'm sorry. Viewers may not know what that is. We don't teach it.
And that was the point of that show, exactly. And when I was sort of looking through some headlines over the last week to sort of juxtapose these, you know, how thoughtless, really, they can be. I had noticed a strong pattern in looking at Fox headlines over the last week of framing things to really bolster Trump's candidacy, where they were framing points like, you know, Trump gaining ground, Trump coming out strong. And if you actually looked at polling numbers, he was well behind. But everything they phrased was putting Trump first. Look, he's going to catch up. Oh, he's catching up. Oh, Trump, the man to be reckoned with, sort of thing.
I think it's important to understand what Fox News is. You know, it's often described as being the media wing of the Republican Party, and I don't think that's correct. Roger Ailes, who was a Richard Nixon political advisor and who runs Fox News with an iron fist and makes about $2 million a week, or makes about $500,000 a week, about $24 million a year, is a genius. He is a brilliant guy. He has the biggest audience out there. He is interested in the audience and the profits and the power. And, you know, when it was convenient for him to have Sarah Palin be a host, he had her. And when it became clear that, you know, her lack of critical thinking skills, among other things, was not helpful anymore, he got rid of her. Donald Trump brought them an audience of 24 million people to the first debate. Trump is right. Without that, the audience would have been in single digits. It might have been as small as 2-3 million people. And so they're going to play to Donald Trump, and so is everybody else. I mean, one of the things some other people reasonably asked is, here I wrote these 21 questions for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The documentary he suppressed is now out, and you can watch it free if you go to nationalmemo.com and the piece I wrote, the column I wrote called Free at Last. It's at the bottom. 500,000 people, by the way, have watched the 80-minute documentary. It's a very well-done documentary from 1990 about Trump. But the national news media is not asking any of the serious questions. Why not? Well, first of all, politics reporters cover the horse race. They don't cover the issues. Secondly, it's cheap. I mean, why do we have so much crime news? Because it's cheap. It's the one area of news where you only have to tell the police version of events. And thirdly, it draws an audience. So Donald understands perfectly how to appeal to those sorts of commercial interests, and he will continue to do so, and Fox will shape its coverage. You know, Fox is the only news organization that issues marching orders, and yet people on the right have this mythology that people are told to do that. I mean, the L.A. Times, when I worked there, had 1,200 journalists. The New York Times, when I worked there, had the same or slightly larger number of people. And the lowliest person in the newsroom, it was understood, could go into the top editor's office and argue about something. I mean, I've seen near fisticuffs over a comma, where a comma is going to go in a story. There are constant ethical debates going on. Nobody tells people what to do. You want to exercise power, you assign somebody who's a feature writer to a hard story, because then that's what you'll get, or soft stories. But you don't issue orders. At Fox, they do, and you can tell that because every day the same language shows up show after show after show each day.
Constantly. When Jon Stewart was still on the air, he would. You could see, thank goodness he watched it so I didn't have to, but it would be everyone giving their talking points. And, you know, what did Goebbels say after, if you repeat something about seven times, folks start to believe.
Long enough, yeah. Lie long enough. And the, you know, Fox is, so Fox is run by a very smart guy. He is very smart about the talent, as the people on air are known, and how to treat them and get what he wants out of them. And clearly he has an affinity for blondes, because, you know, you don't see many women on his show who are not gorgeous and blonde.
True. With straight hair. They all have the very same hairstyle. But I'm a hairstylist. That's my
bugaboo.
That's
what Linda does in the rest of her life.
But right now.
Well, I wanted to bring in, you were talking, a minute ago, we were looking at sort of I guess it does play into the big lie. It's a lot of basically the myth versus facts. As we look at so-called Christian conservatives, I want to look at the recent fracas around Kim Davis.
Yeah.
All right. And we've mentioned already Article 6 of the Constitution, looking at the separation of church and state, which I believe Jefferson framed it as the wall that needs to, you know, separate church and state.
Yes. He wrote an 1803 letter to the Danbury Baptists saying that there's a wall of separation between church and state.
Yeah. And yet we have the celebration of Kim Davis by many of the front-running Republican presidential candidates. We also have her just being bolstered by conservatives, Christian conservatives, especially as a martyr. And I was hoping I could get your comment on that as well.
Well, imagine for a moment that we had a county clerk somewhere who is a Muslim who says, I am not going to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Do you think Mike Huckabee would be out there hailing this person?
Holding hands, playing a Survivor song in the background.
And blocking Ted Cruz, who came to the event, from getting up on the stage that apparently Huckabee paid for. There's footage of the staff, you know, keeping Ted Cruz from going, so he left. First of all, the right is trying to compare her to Rosa Parks, which is an abomination. Rosa Parks' act of not sitting on the bus wasn't the first time this didn't happen, and it was planned, and she was an activist involved in civil rights issues. And Rosa Parks was willing to take whatever the penalty was for this. If you want to believe a law is wrong, if you believe that, you know, in my generation, that we shouldn't be drafting young people to go to Vietnam, there are ethical ways to address this. She has several ethical options. She can resign her office. There aren't too many $80,000 a year office jobs in that county, so I think that's kind of unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
You follow the law whether you like it or not, or you say, well, I'm not going to do this, but my deputy over here can do this. And I'm astonished that Republicans who talk law and order all the time, and for the record, I'm a registered Republican, that they talk law and order and then don't respect the rule of law. You know, I don't.
We're back to hypocrisy.
Supreme Court decisions, but they're the law of the land till we change them. And if you want to change them, there's a way to do it. You elect a new Congress, you elect new legislatures, you amend the Constitution, you put in the Constitution a provision that says that gay people can't marry. Now, I don't think you have a snowball's chance in hell of passing such an amendment, but that's what you do if you want to change things. And you don't stand there and say, I'm following God's law. We're not a theocracy, thank goodness, and the founders absolutely didn't want a theocracy. They were deeply worried about it. Although I should point out that Clarence Thomas has said, but for the 14th Amendment, Utah could be a theocracy, and in his view, the states could be theocracies, and there's a doctrine called incorporation in which you bring certain federal laws to the level of the states. And that's a very scary thought, particularly since Clarence Thomas has no respect for existing court decisions, what's known as stare decisis. That is, it's been decided, people built their lives around it, leave it.
Right. And yeah, again, I guess it's getting back to that hypocrisy for me. You've just hit it on the head with these people who are all about the law and order suddenly heralding this one action. And to, again, proper up, I heard the Democracy Now! Clip, I think it was Wednesday morning of that rally with Huckabee. And it was, to me, really, you know, there was like the half of me that was just like, oh my God, I'm so kind of disgusted that this is happening. But then there was that other half of me that actually is afraid of what the groundswell might mean in terms of people actually looking at, yeah, theocracy, yeah, Christians have been the new oppressed group and are now being jailed for their beliefs. And I just am concerned about that.
I think they are a small fringe in this country, and they don't have much political power. They're not very high in the elites. They get stirred up by people like Fox and National Review because that's their audience. But look what happened with the issue of gay marriage in America. 10 years ago, certainly 15 years ago, it was unthinkable that we would be where we are today. And I believe, and I may be wrong about this, that when Maggie Gallagher's family group came out and said, and emphasized how gay marriage threatens traditional marriage, that all across America there were husbands and wives who looked at each other who were in different sex marriages and said, I don't know, how does it affect our marriage if Jim and Bill down the street get married? How does that affect us?
Mm-hmm.
And realized this was a nonsense argument. And there's been this, not glacial, but like rapid shift away from that. And these folks, they're on the losing side of history, at least, you know, in the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is good.
One hopes. I just worry about the social effect of media right now, where people pay a lot more attention sometimes to what they see on, say, something like Fox News or some things they see on Facebook, instead of their own thought power. That's once again having the ability to do critical thinking. So I hope you're right, David. I hope you're right.
There's a wonderful Lily Allen song about this with a title I can't say on the air.
Thank you.
It is Something You, and it's a terrific song about small-minded bigotry, and, you know, please don't stay in touch.
Oh, yes, I went to visit my mother last year, and that was the first thing she did. She sat me down in front of her computer and played me this video. It is a brilliant song. Everyone should look it up, and thank you for not saying its name on the radio. David K. Johnson, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. I want to just, again, say that, you know, I think it is important. I know that Trump gets a lot of press. That is part of my problem right about now. And I don't mean to add to the amount of airspace in general that Donald gets. But I think it's super important that we can look at the example of Donald Trump and look at the corruption that has made him the man he is today. You know, it's sort of the myth versus man discussion.
Well, I'm glad we're having the coverage of Donald because, for a different reason, I think it should prompt us to think about how totally out of touch the leaders of the Republican Party are with public policy, or as one of my grown children likes to say, you have to understand in modern America, the Republican Party and Republicans are two separate and unrelated things.
That actually, I would have to agree, also is true for folks I know. Thank you so much, David K. Johnson, for joining us this morning.
And Lynn and Ani, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. We hope to talk to you again. And thanks for your good work. And at this moment, we want to talk to you, dear listener. That's right, you. Right now, you don't even have to put down the cup of coffee. Just grab the phone and wiggle the finger over the magic little happy numbers and make it go to 877-500-5266. And that is your key to community, supporting community radio, supporting KBOO.
That is very true.
How are
is
we
it
doing?
Indeed. Hello, indeed.
We're doing very well.
We're doing great. And, you know, we want to thank some folks. We want to thank Rosalyn, who renewed from Northeast Portland.
Yay.
And Annie, also from Northeast Portland, Yay. Who renewed. And James from Salem.
Fantastic.
Renewed. All right. We got a Salem.
Yeah.
So we're good.
In your face, Vernonia.
No. Vernonia people are good. Vernonia people will be calling in right now to defend their honor. 877-500-52.
And you know, if you are a member already, I'd say call in and get Donald Trump a gift membership. It's a very reasonable way to support KBOO, and it might get into that narcissistic brain of his. But you know, make that call, 877-500-5266. Become a member or get a gift membership for Donald Trump. Right on. We love hearing that phone ringing.
877-500-5266. With your contribution of $20 a month, just $20 a month, painlessly extracted from your accounts and put to work in support of your entire community, you can get that fabulous hoodie. It's got the KBOO logo that is a radio tower with a red star behind it, sort of the gear of the workers going on at the base and lightning bolts. Coming at the tower. Actually, I got to say, in a little redesign, the lightning bolts are going away from the tower because it made our engineer kind of nervous.
That would. But it's a great design.
It's a great hoodie.
It's really beautiful.
Or if you want David K. Johnson's book, Divided, he graciously offered that to us, and he will sign the books for you.
Well, he said one.
Did
and
he
I think
say
it's
one?
Gone. Yeah.
He said one.
Sorry. And it's done.
Yeah. It's
sorry.
Done.
My ears are clogged.
Yeah. Okay.
Never mind then.
Go ahead and take another cough drop, dear.
Okay.
877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm. Have we had any visitors back there?
Not so far.
Lynn and I were stuck in a little side studio. Yeah. We're a little, we don't know what's happening in the rest of the world.
You know, we did have a lovely visitor, Greg, who came in earlier. Greg, who always comes in during membership drive, but he has gone. But
come on down to 20 Southeast 8th.
Yeah, we got coffee. We can show you the library. We can show you around the station. Shows you where your money's going. And believe me, it's not going to the lavish offices. Let's put it that way. You know, it's pretty...
We're a little bare bones,
but that's great. You know, it's like, that's how it is, because it goes, most of the money, 48% goes into actual direct broadcast.
And so your money is actually being put into the service of community. You know that your money is actually making community stronger. We love to show off the station to people that drop by 20 Southeast 8th. Grace mentioned we'll let you give you a tour of our music library. Just to let you know how substantial that is, every time I take somebody into the music library, a visitor or a new volunteer, I always hear this. Wow. It's kind of phenomenal. It's like 40,000 CDs and LPs surrounding you. And it's a beautiful sight. So come on down. Let us show you that. Let us show you the sound studios that you hear talk radio being broadcast from every weekday morning, 8 to 9 o'clock. But come in with your support at 20 Southeast 8th. If you're not conveniently located to that right now, just pick up the phone and dial 877 500 500 5266. It sounds like we're busy back there, but I bet there's a phone line open. Is there not?
There is a phone line available. It can happen. You can call right now. You need to call if you're the sort of person who brings dinner dishes to sick friends. If you're the sort who shows up to help move without being asked. If you're the sort who does the dishes at the party. Well, you're the sort of person who understands what community is about. I mean, community radio, if you're listening this far, if you're listening this far into my pitch, then you must love KBOO. So why not join up? And why not up your pledge to get yourself a hoodie? Because as Grace was saying, it's a great way to break the ice because people will say, hey, KBOO, I listen to that. And then you can talk with them. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. KBOO.FM, of course, and always. But right now, we just love to hear that phone ring. 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. You were saying, Grace?
Well, I was just saying that this is just a great day to do this. You know, we've got lots of great stuff coming up later on today. I don't actually have a list, but I know Lisa Loving is on board, ready to come on. And so just stay on KBOO all day. And if you're not a member, make that call to 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm/donate and become a member or up your membership.
And you know, one of the best held secrets is, you know, during membership drive, we have some of the very best programming ever. So stay tuned, people, because you're gonna get some of our best, and that's because people step up their game for membership drive, because we know that we have great listeners.
And I want to just say, actually, you can go to kboo.fm, and then there's like a big banner there. You can just click on that. You don't have to worry about any other suffixes or whatever.
Darn just suffixes.
You can just kboo.fm. It's so simple. Just join us.
Fall membership drive. Click there.
877-500-5266. Where else can you get this kind of diversity? Where else can two anarchist feminists interview a Republican and everyone comes along just happy
and
as
no one
clams?
Dies or anything.
It's a beautiful world in which we share information and strengthen community through diversity. It's brilliant, and you need to be a part. 877-500-5266. And now onwards for the rest of the incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up, it is Democracy in Motion. Ari Berman is Lisa Loving's guest. He's the author of Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America.
KBOO would like to thank the restaurants that donated food for our volunteers today. Overlook Family Restaurants for providing breakfast, located at 1332 North Skidmore, serving Greek and American cuisine featuring a lounge with a fireplace. Kell's Irish Pub for providing lunch, located at 112 Southwest 2nd. Kell's is family owned and operated and has been serving the Northwest since 1930. Kell's newest location on Northwest.